Well, this morning at Hope Christian Church, the Sunday after Christmas is always a tradition for us to get to hear how the Lord is working in people's lives in our congregation. It's a testimony Sunday. We've done this as long as I've been here, and it's encouraging to do it because we get to hear how incredible our Lord is and how mighty He is. All the things that we sang about, we see Him at work in people's lives. And so to really shape why we do this, I want to read from Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5a. And you'll see it's pretty clear why we're doing what we're doing. Psalm 105, 1 through 5 says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done." I love how clear it is in that psalm about why we need to share testimony with one another. To make His works known among the peoples. And at the end of that verse, in verse 3, 4, and 5, it tells us some reasons why. Number one, that we are to glory in His name, that our lives are all about bringing Him glory. And we do that by sharing the ways that He has worked in our lives, by giving glory to Him. The second thing the psalmist says to us in these verses is to seek the Lord in His strength, to seek His presence continually. As we hear the testimonies of how the Lord works in other people's lives, it reinvigorates us to seek the Lord, to seek His presence, His strength, and to do it continually as we ourselves, the audience, the hearers, at any moment in our lives, maybe journeying through something where we need that encouragement and that reminder not to look into our own strength, but to seek the Lord and His strength. And then finally, in verse 5, we need to remember. It's so easy for us to forget and to move on with life, but we need to remember the wondrous works that He has done. And that's what this morning is all about. So as elders at Hope Christian Church, we've invited two people to share this morning their testimonies about how the Lord has worked in their lives. So we have Dorota and Legney who will be sharing. And so I'd like to invite Dorota to come up first. She's going to share about how the Lord has worked in her life over the past year. And that's our charge when we ask people to share. We ask them to share how they have experienced the Lord working over the past year in their life. So, Dorota, you can come on up, and I will hand the mic over to you. And thank you so much for coming and sharing this morning. We appreciate it.
So, I couldn't add more any more than that. Psalm says, you know, I am here to humbly share the glorious works that the Lord has done in my life, and I've tried to go through without tears. So my name is Dorota, and I can honestly say that there was a point in my life where I thought I've hit all the tick boxes on my life's to-do list. I've achieved everything I thought I was going to need to be happy. I graduated university, got my master's in engineering. I learned languages. And from that, I got a good job. I had a successful career. I've met the love of my life, my husband, whom I married. And we've been blessed with three wonderful boys. So I had a complete family. And we lacked nothing. My life lacked nothing. I had everything I ever wanted from life. And whilst on the outside, my life looked really perfect and I was very fulfilled as a person, my inner being was dark. You know, there was depression, anxiety, condemnation, just really low self-esteem, and just so much guilt. And I think most of all, there was this petrifying, paralyzing fear of death that I've had since I was a little girl. I remember lying in bed and forcing myself to think about the end of the world, because somebody told me that nobody knows when the world will end. And I thought, if I think about it, then well, I know, and then God will not make it end because there is that one person that knows, so I'm good. And that continues within me for my life. Like, I remember traveling on business trips and having anxiety and panic attacks on the plane, and my boss bringing a piece of rock, handing it to my hand, and he goes, you know, hang on tight to that, that'll help you feel grounded. And I realized, well, that's what it is. Like, my panic is linked to the fact that I have no control, you know? If the plane goes plummeting down, that's it. Like, at least if I'm driving a car, or statistically, you know, it's a completely different story. But I can swerve right or left and kind of create my own destiny in the plane. I can't do anything. And I was petrified, what will I find on the other side? So all of that changed when Jesus entered my life. And I cannot explain what he did in the words that just don't explain it well enough. But he took all the anxiety, he took all the darkness, condemnation, depression, and just filled me with love and peace and hope, hope of eternity and hope of life with him that I never knew before. And I come from a God-fearing household. My mom and dad, they taught us right from wrong. You know, they took us to church every given opportunity. I was always in church. I had all the sacraments as a child. And I always thought I was safe because I'm part of the group of people that is the right religion. And everybody else on the outside, they are the lost people. So there was this kind of, now I know, self, sense of assurance that I'm good. But yet my life didn't reflect that goodness. I was just a ball of nerves all the time, like anxiety. I was very curious, you know. You wouldn't know that I was a troubled child inside because I was just happy, curious, just doing my own thing and never really scared of anything in life. Always putting myself in kind of sort of dangerous situations. And but then I knew I had this fallback of going to confession, confessing my sins and going to communion and gaining my grace again. And then I would sin again and the cycle would continue. So there was that, those sacraments that would kind of top up my grace if I messed up. But that changed when I had my first broken marriage. Not many people know about that, but I got married at 26. By that point, I was living a life just full of sin. I think I've broken every single one of 10 commandments many times over. And I just didn't care. And when I married that man and realized I did it to please my family, by that point as well, my relationship with my parents was hardly existent. I was really living in rebellion, feeling like I'm putting shame on my family by having a relationship outside of marriage and living with a man. So I felt like when he proposed, I felt like this is my solution to my sin and everything will be okay. But on the wedding night, I just knew I've made a mistake, and it was very short-lived. I think 3 months after, I've already moved out, and I remember going through this kind of mental crisis. I shouted out to God. I said, I wish you've never made me. Like, I wasn't gutsy enough to do anything about my life, but I hated living. I was like, I'm 26 and I'm stuck in this marriage because I always was taught as a child, you know, marriage is sacred. Now I know what it means, really. But back then, it's like you marry for life and you don't leave, because if you do, you fall outside of grace. If you ever remarry, if you ever live your life, then you are no longer part of grace. So my backup plan was broken. And in my head, I was condemned to hell. So I said to God, you know, I had my George Bailey moment. Like if you watched It's a Wonderful Life, I was like, I wish you never made me. I hate my life. I don't want to live. And, you know, George got his angel showing him around what his life would look like if he wasn't around. But God took me on a different journey. He granted all my heart's desire because I decided if there is a God who is going to condemn me to hell, rightly or wrongly, for marrying the wrong man, then I don't want this God and I don't want to serve him, and I'm just going to create my own life and I'm going to live as best as I can, mine as well. So I did. I ticked all of the boxes and I ran away from God and anything religious for 8 years. I hated religion. I hated any mention of Jesus, God, just anything that would remind me of what I've been through. So fast forward 8 years, my husband is on a business trip in Japan, and I practiced my meditation. I think it was one of the New Age practices, which I got myself into, trying to astral project and whatnot, and I'm having this realization, like, this is wrong. Like, this is really wrong. I tried everything. Like, that's another thing I grabbed hold onto, trying to bring myself some internal peace, but I just felt such darkness and depression. And I remember just going to my bedroom, going on my knees and just crying my eyes out because I didn't know where to turn. I said, God, if you are there, whoever you are, I'm done. Like, I have every blessing in life I could possibly have. But inside, I'm dead and I can't fill this void and this hole with anything of this life. Which made me feel like a bad wife, but mom, but everything. Because I have everything and I'm so blessed. And I said to him, if you are there, I give you everything. I give you my all. Like, take me and do something with this because I don't know what else to do. And this was the moment when, for the first time, I gave God full control. And coming from a control freak, where I always, like, if you say, no, that's not possible, I say, yes, that's possible. And I would always reach my destiny. Whatever I had in my head, I would always get to that goal. And here I said to God, take me. And he did. You know, I'm an engineer, so I operate on facts and data, but I can't explain what happened that night. The atmosphere shifted, the God entered the room. I can only describe it that way. There was a heaviness to the air, and I could feel his presence. And in this crying out, and you know, I could feel God pouring out love and joy and peace and hope. Like, thank you, Libby. I should have thought of that. Like I've never felt before. And I just knew. I even had to get up and check myself in the mirror because I physically thought, like, I've changed. I couldn't believe. Like, I felt physical change, like physical load coming off me. And like in this moment, like, I knew three things. I knew God existed and he was loving and he was good. And I wasn't condemned and I wasn't without hope in this life. And he was always there for me. And I would make it my life mission to find out about him. I also had a need to repent of all of my sins and forgive everybody who hurt me. And by that point, I've never read the Bible. I've never known any biblical Christian. I know nothing about it. I just know Catholic religion I grew up in. So I have this need to grab hold of a Bible. And I remembered there was one in the cat food cupboard because I threw it there when my mom sent it to me. And I was like, not this religious nonsense. And I just chucked it there. So I got to grab it, and God has such a sense of humor. I've opened the Bible, and it started making perfect sense to me. I have to, like, admit that in the second, I was always really bad at history. Like, I was good at maths and other subjects, but history was my weakest point. I nearly sat a year because I couldn't remember the basic dates. And here I am reading this godly given historical narrative that makes perfect sense. So I'm starting with the book of Matthew and I'm learning about God, and it's like, I just want to know who you are. My husband comes back from business trip, he's lying next to me, I'm somewhere in the New Testament, and this is where the new second supernatural story happens in my life. I'm kind of lying in bed, talking to God, and then I hear this mighty wind enter the room. Like, it's like a tornado, but I'm freaking out. Like, what's going on? Look at my husband. He's fast asleep, all jet lagged, and nothing is moving. I can just hear this noise. And from there are these electricity bolts that enter my body, and it goes from my feet, through my body, over my head, and I sit up, and the whole thing repeats three times. So, like, I don't know what's going on, but all I know that the peace and love and joy that I felt during my first encounter with God now are complete. And I felt like I was walking the earth, like a few inches off the ground. I was loving, from that moment on, I was just loving on everybody. I was just a completely different person. I remember walking outside and looking at the trees and grass, and it was like I was put into a different world. Everything was beautiful, everything was new. And I just wanted, my heart's desire got completely changed. I always was a very ambitious person. I wanted to do well in my career, and I was on a really good path. But then suddenly I was no longer interested in my professional career. It's not to say I lost ambition, I didn't, but God made me more in tune with the people around me, and I wanted to serve people around me. So fast forward, just conscious of time, to where we are today. God has been working on my heart and has been working on my family. It wasn't an easy journey. Me coming to faith nearly broke our marriage. My husband lost the person he knew. I suddenly became this person that wasn't interested in the things I used to do, in the partying and swearing and you know, just doing the things I used to do. And he just didn't understand it. And it was close. But God has been really faithful, and he blessed our marriage. We are going stronger than ever. My husband and I are still on the same page when it comes to faith, but I know God has a plan, and I was able to impart that faith to my children, and I know God will do the rest. I've been praying to God to make some changes in our lifestyle. So we were a very busy family, and I wanted to have more time with him. Well, there comes an opportunity for my husband to move into Netherlands for international assignment. And we're like, yeah, that's it. That's the chance for us to make something different. But there comes a family, a very painful moment for our family when last year my husband got diagnosed with tumor in his head. So the whole thing gets put on hold. And while God is healing my husband, which he praised God he did, the whole deal just falls apart. He got so far, everything was ready, and everything falls apart. I was like, oh, here we go again. And no time for God. We continue as we are. And then I pray to God and I say, do with us as you please. And we end up in America. This opportunity comes up. And I don't even realize God answers my prayer. I said, I am so lonely in my faith. I don't know many Christian people in my life. I can't share my faith easily at home, and I need support. Like, I feel so lonely. And God opened the door to Hope Church for me and my children, and I am no longer lonely. I've been welcomed with open arms. My husband is feeling very well, so he's been healed of his sickness. And I know that Lord has a plan. I have been not working for a year, which is the first time in my life, like since my grown-up years, I haven't been working. And I am not rushing for the first time. I'm letting God to do his work. I wanted to work with children. He closed that door, but he opened the door to I work in a hospice. So I volunteer in a hospice. And the first person he put in my life in the hospice is a Polish lady. So she comes alive when we speak Polish. Praise God. And I am surrounded by people who are about to enter to the other side. So God, my fear of death, and now facing death with the people I'm seeing, is just, it feels like a miracle of life. And I'm very blessed, and I am waiting to see what God is yet to do in our lives. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dorota. We give the Lord glory and praise for your story and your testimony and how he's continuing to work in your life. Thank you for sharing with us. Next, I'd like to invite up Legney. Legney is going to come, and he's going to share testimony as well about how the Lord has been working in his life. Thanks for sharing, Legney.
Good morning, everybody. If you can see on the screen, it says we are in disobedience when we don't testify. In Acts 5:27-32 says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in his name. Yet here we have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man blood upon us. But Peter and the apostle answered, we must obey God rather than men. And God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand and as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Sharing testimony is a command of God. So when we stay silent, we are in disobedience. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity once again, Lord, in front of your people. Let it be you that speak through me, Father God. Open the hearts and ears of those you want to hear this message, Father God, today. Allow us to just completely understand and listen exactly to your words as I go through this testimony here today. In Jesus' name, amen. I had to write this down because it takes me like an hour and a half to say it all. So they only give me 15 minutes, so bear with me, please. I have been in the world without knowing Jesus for more than 20 years. I knew there was a God, but I followed the Catholic religion way because it's my family culture. I was always jealous of the happiness and joy of my older brother had when he was serving the Lord. And I did not understand why he was so happy and peaceful all the time. It just bothered me. I did not want any part of that religion. So when they came in the house, I came out the other door. So I don't even have to see them. My brother told me his testimony that one day he was in a river with friends and the current took him in the deep. He got separated from the group and was drowning. Right before he passed out, somebody pulled him up with one hand and took him to shore almost 20 yards. When he looked up, there was nobody around, and his friends came up and like to him 10 minutes later. Now I understand who helped him. I got drunk every weekend and ended up selling prescription drugs to people that wanted them. And because of that, I got addicted to them myself. In my addiction, my little brother and my mother hide my pill bottle from me to help me stop. What an error that was. Those of you that might been in through addiction, you know what that is. One day I forgot in the morning my pills and went out to purchase something and forgot about my pills. Went back home and could not find them. My mother told me she threw them away to help me. I was mad. I took a big knife and was on my way to stab her in the stomach, but something I don't understand would not let me do it and made me drop the knife, and I started crying. Now I understand who stopped me. I got married, had 4 kids, and was not satisfied at all. Always wanted more and more of life, but always felt empty at the end of the day. That led me to cheat on my wife and live a sinful and dark life while projecting this great guy image on the outside. I was looking for joy within and never found it. As a result of my sinful life, my wife ended up cheating on me as well, and we went into a painful divorce. In 2017, a man I used to buy pills from asked me if I wanted to make good money by taking our luggage with 1 kilo of cocaine hidden from Dominican Republic to Miami. I said, yeah, why not? I was going through a lot back then, and I didn't even care. So I said yes, and came in with a kilo of cocaine and got caught with it. As a result, not only he sent me with 1 kilo, but never told me he had put 2 kilos inside, and that's why they found out. I went to federal prison and signed a plea deal of 5 years. When you sign a plea deal of 5 years, that's it. You go in prison for 5 years. To be served in Miami federal prison. When inside the prison, I will say about 3 months, there was a Dominican friend that asked me if I wanted to go to church and see the service. I said, what for? I don't need that right now. But something in my mind kept putting the service in my head constantly. So I went. I sat on the back of the room, like I always do on the back. And my friend sat behind me. When the service ended, the pastor asked if anyone here wanted to give their life to Jesus, now is the time to come to the front. Suddenly, I felt a push from my back. Like I stood up and I didn't know what happened. So I guess, you know, my friend pushed me, go. And then when I looked back, nobody was sitting behind me. And I was right next to the door to the church, but nobody came out of it. Now I know who pushed me. As I walked towards the front, my legs were shaking like I'm shaking right now. And tears came down my eyes, but I could not explain it. When the pastor asked me if I wanted Jesus in my life, I said yes. All of a sudden, I could not stay standing anymore and drop to my knees. I felt my skin was burning. I was shaking. I was crying. And suddenly, in seconds, my addiction, my alcohol addiction, my drug addiction flashed away from me. I felt like 1,000 pounds of weight got taken away from my shoulders. One night after that, a cellmate that I had sleeping on the upper bunk named Leo, that also gave his life to Jesus that day, started praying around 9:30 after lockdown. But there was no peace or silence outside the doors because of the 400 plus inmates outside making all kind of noise. In the spirit, he then started praying, "Our Father who art in heaven," but could not continue with the noise outside. Suddenly, he tells me, "Lainey, don't move." I said, "Oh my God, what's about to happen?" Then he said out loud, "Silence." The whole floor with more than 400 inmates got quiet to a point that you could drop a needle and you could listen to it. Now I know who said those words. After the prayer, that took maybe 20 minutes, right after he said, "In Jesus' name, amen," noise came back from the outside again. It was amazing. It was like we were in a bubble. And all of a sudden, the bubble got pinched, boom, and we started listening to noise again. The night before my sentencing in court, Leo, my cellmate, started praying and asked me not to move again. He then came down from his bed with a different voice. It was like an angelic voice, sweet as honey. It was not him. He had his eyes closed. He was walking and he knew where he was going and asked me to stand up. Then he pointed to a little window we had in the cell and said these words that I carry with me every day of my life. He said, "When you go out there, all I want is for you not to forget about me." I know that was Jesus. Next morning, I went to court. The judge, even though I had signed a plea deal of 5 years, suddenly told the DA that she was not going to give me 5 years, but instead gave me 2 years. I don't know what happened. I know who did. In 2019, I was finally free and started my life with Christ on the streets. Life was not good at all. Went through different jobs that did not last. Could not get a decent one because of the felony in my background. Then here came debt and homelessness. I was homeless for maybe 9 months. Along the way, one morning day at my church, my pastor asked me, "Why don't you call your kid's mom in Massachusetts and go there with your girls, because at that time I had my two girls, and she had the two boys here. And I was like, yeah, why not? I called it. I came to Massachusetts, got reunited with my two boys here after 2 years without being able to travel and see them. And doors started opening up for me out of the blue. After going through the desert full of trials and tests, God was faithful all the way through. I came here and found a job not even a month in, after everything dried up in Miami. And because of that job, I opened up my own company, SOG Health. And today I can truly say I'm free of working for somebody else. I'm operating in full capacity where God wants me and my spiritual gift is. I have a website and I have an about tab that I want to read to you what I'm about. It says, Legny Ramirez's story is one of resilience, transformation, and faith, from overcoming homelessness and incarceration to founding SOG Health. Legny's journey is a powerful testament to the human spirit ability to rise above adversity. His life mission is to serve others, and through SOG Health, he gives back to the community by providing compassionate, non-emergency medical transportation. At SOG Health, we believe in transforming lives through reliable, compassionate service. Legny's personal struggle shaped the foundation of our company, which is named Son of God Healthcare, SOG, in honor of the Son of the Living God, Jesus. His faith and commitment to serve are reflected in every aspect of the care we provide. From the beginning, SOG Health was founded to bridge the gap for those needing access to essential healthcare services, ensuring they receive care with dignity, peace, grace, and compassion. I want to thank you all for listening to our testimonies. It's hard to be up here sharing what we're sharing. Some of the people, I've been in rooms with high schoolers, maybe 800, 1,000 of them. I was nervous to share that, but at the end of the day, you see five kids saying yes to Jesus. Our testimonies, even though small, medium, large, people that do not know Christ, they're waiting for you to say something in order for them to say, I want that. If we stay silent, I believe we're not Christian, because every single person that's here that is a Christian has a testimony. And if you call, you pray on it, you ask God to help you share that, he'll open the door and a knock will be on your door asking you to share it. And go ahead, be nervous. I tell Steve that being nervous here is when God is great. This is where God comes in and allow you to share what we have to share. If you think you know it all and you come here, God is just going to step away because you know it all. So I thank you for today's time you give us, and have a great day. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Legny, for sharing that testimony. I want to transition our time to our response song. But before I do that, I'd like to share another scripture with you that will kind of shape that time. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. And the scripture says this: The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. I love that scripture because, first of all, it describes the purpose of why we celebrate this season, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And every single one of us falls short every single day of God's standard. We need salvation, and that's why Jesus came into the world. As a child, he grew up God's perfect son. He did not have any sin. But he chose to die for us, for our sin. He chose to die on the Roman cross to be crucified. He suffered what we rightfully deserve to suffer. And that putting our trust in him, we have forgiveness of all of our sin and the opportunity to have eternal life with the Lord forever. And as we've heard these testimonies today, you see, as the last song we sang in the beginning, the power and the presence of the great I Am, of Jesus Christ, when he enters into your life. And he enters into your life not by any works that you do, not by any aspect of sacrament or things of your own doing, but by simply faith, by trusting in him, by you calling upon him. In the scriptures, the Gospel of John 1:12 says, to those who received him, who called him, that they became children of God. You put your trust in Jesus. That's how you receive him. And the second part of this verse is amazing, because once he comes into you, it says, Paul, who's writing this, says that in me, and each one of us can echo that, that in me, if Christ is in you, that what does he do? He displays. He displayed through Paul his perfect patience. He displays in Legni. He displays in Dorota. If you follow Jesus, he displays his power and his presence in you. And why? So that others will come to believe as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. There may be some of you here today who are at that crossroads. You have not received Jesus as your Savior. If you haven't received him, then you're separated from the Lord. You're carrying the price of your own sin for eternity. I encourage you, as we sing this last song today, as you've heard the example of the power of Jesus to transform lives, if you want that in your life, we have prayer stations in this room. We have one over here to my left and the one over here on the back right. I encourage you, I encourage our prayer attendants to go to those stations as we sing the song. And as the Lord leads you, go. Receive prayer for whatever you need. But most importantly, if you don't have Jesus, go to the station. Ask Jesus to be your Savior in prayer. And before you go today, I encourage you to tell somebody about that. Whether it's one of us as pastors, whether it's the person you're praying with, I encourage you. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the incredible change that you make in the lives of those who trust you by faith. Jesus, we don't deserve your mercy. Thank you for withholding punishment for our sin that we rightfully deserve. Thank you for giving us grace, a gift that we don't deserve at all. Jesus, I pray that if there are those in this room today that desire to know you, I pray that they would have the heart to surrender. Surrender whatever their fear is. Surrender whatever their sin is. Surrender everything to you and know that you are powerful to transform. So, Lord, we give you this final song as we sing, and we invite your Spirit to move and work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.